every day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, February the 20th. I've been away for a couple of days during this All-Star break, but I'm back with my man T. Will. What's up, T?
What's going on, Keith, man? Thanks for having me on here today.
Hey, for y'all who don't know T. Will, T. Will and I have been talking for the last couple of weeks about having him on the podcast. T. Will goes on 97.5 from time to time to talk about the 76ers. So he has a lot of knowledge about the team. Sometimes I go to him to get some things, some opinions. But
don't put that out there too fast.
Don't put it out there too fast. But now here's the thing, y'all. In this one, we want to talk about three things. We want to talk about the hype that the 76ers are getting. I mean, some of you guys know that they're going to be on the cover, or they are on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So we're going to talk about the hype in the first segment. The second segment, some people are spreading rumors saying that Brett Brown is sandbagging for the playoffs. I don't believe it. Doesn't make any sense. And we want to dissect what Brett Brown really is doing. And then thirdly, we want to talk about the 76ers bringing back everyone, bringing back all five starters. Should they do that? Because, you know, we all know that Ben Simmons is coming back. We know Joel Embiid's coming back. But what about J.J. Redick? You know, what about Tobias Harris? What about Jimmy Butler? But first, I want to talk about the hype. And T. Will, what is your opinion on the hype that the 76ers are receiving right now?
The hype the Sixers are receiving right now is huge. The city's buzzing right now for the Sixers. And it all stems from what blockbuster trades Elton Brand has done. Mm-hmm. And it goes from the first step when bringing in Jimmy Butler. You know, the first 11 to 15 games, we sat back, you know, you and I talked and a couple other people talked and said, you know, this team just needs more. Mm-hmm. So coming up the trade deadline, what do we do? We weren't sure. A lot of names were being thrown out there. Mm-hmm. But no one actually had, like, an idea of what the Sixers actually were going to do. Okay? So now we bring in Tobias Harris, which Elton Brand, congratulations. That was a fantastic move. That's a guy right there that would want to be here long term as we talk about the future. So the Sixers come in with this hype, with the best starting five in the league next to Golden State, coming off of beating Golden State off a good road trip. They come home, they're scoring over 120 points, you know, the first two games. And then we run into our roadblock, Boston, Brad Stevens. And for some odd reason, and even without Brad Stevens, just with Brad Stevens, Boston, Toronto, as you mentioned, and Indiana, and even Milwaukee, the Sixers' record isn't that great. Mm-hmm. So the expectations and the hype has to be tampered down a little bit, because we have to show that we could play with the top of the echelon of the NBA. All right, so we run into Boston. Boston comes in here, and the frustration comes out of the papers, out on social media. You know, Brett Brown. Brett Brown does catch a lot of heat in the city, but he has to get some credit. Brett Brown, when we went on them 16-game winning streak last year, Brett Brown was at the helm. Mm-hmm. When we scored over 120 points with this new team, it was still Brett Brown. So you can't blame Brett Brown for all these turnovers that are continuously happening. He's coaching, okay? Yeah, I get frustrated and yell Brett Brown. My thing is this. The hype has to be tampered down just a little bit. Brett Brown breaks the season up. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that. If you don't know that, I'm going to explain it to you. Brett Brown breaks up the season into every 10 games. Every 10 games, he relooks at his team. He goes into the film and he sees what he has. Brett Brown has a new team right now. Okay, we have about 24 games left or so. We have a new team now. We're 2-1 out of these next 10 games. Brett Brown has to figure out within the next 6 to 7 games how he's going to utilize Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick to incorporate those three with Ben and Joe. Now, with J.J. Redick, he's been here. So that's not really too hard for him. But now he's playing with new pieces that are opening the court up more for him. Tobias Harris is going to open up the court more for J.J. So they could play off of each other. J.J. hasn't had that since he's been here. So he's a X factor. Definitely X factor in this situation. Now, granted, this is the best starting five I've seen from the Sixers since 83. That's a long time. A long time, Keith. So what do you think that Brett Brown has to do right now with this starting five to get them rolling, to get past the upper echelon?
I mean, I just think that I think it's more, it's deeper than a starting five. I think that they need to, and we'll talk more about that in the second segment, but I think what they need to do is they need to solidify the bench. I mean, yes, you have new pieces, but you need certain people to step up and claim their roles. And I think that's what they're trying to do. But in regards to the hype thing, you know, it's one of those things where they do have, like you said, they do have the best starting five since 83. Now, I don't want anyone, I'm getting tired of people saying that starting five is better, because it's not. Because that starting five had three Hall of Famers, and Mo Cheek, Moses Malone, and Doc. Right. Yes. So, and then the sixth man was Bobby Jones, you know, he's up for the Hall of Fame. But the thing is, I just want to say, like, yeah, they're getting a lot of hype. Is it too much? You know, the hype doesn't mean anything until they go to Milwaukee and beat Milwaukee.
Correct.
It doesn't mean anything until they can beat Toronto. When Toronto is playing his full staff,
they gotta beat these upper echelon teams mm-hmm. with the team they have now.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that the second half of the season and get a little swag, you know, get a little swag going into the playoffs. That's going to be huge for this team.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably overcome a lot of mistakes that they're doing.
Yeah.
I think the Sixers lose focus in them tight games against the echelon team because they're trying so hard. They come out so tight. And then as the flow of the game goes, once they get into it, we're already down. So it's hard for us to get back into it because we use so much energy just trying to stay afloat instead of doing what we know we can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the tough. The hype has to be tampered down. That's my opinion. You know, a lot of people can say, oh, no, we need the hype. This is good. Let's rock and roll. But then you're going to be sour when your expectations aren't reached because you read so much into the hype. You know, the Sports Illustrated cover came out, and it's a great cover. It's a fantastic cover. But that's putting a bullseye now on Philly.
Yeah, but, I mean, they do it. Last time when Moses was on the cover and they won a chip, they'll be fine. but at the same, and Jimmy was on there. I mean, it's a whole lot better than having the guy sitting on the front row with the bag on his face or the guy sitting on the front row sleeping. You remember?
Yeah, or having the tank on the T-shirt
But, I mean, so we both agree that, yes, this is good, but they have to show us a signature win. Not against Denver when Denver played without two starters.
Right.
We need to see a signature win.
Right.
But what we're going to do is we'll come right back and we're going to talk about is Brett Brown sandbagging?
That's going to be cute.
All right. So your point is Brett Brown sandbagging, man?
I'm going to say no. And I don't think he's sandbagging. I think, actually, Brett Brown's going to ready to turn it up because he had time after this All-Star break to think about the new pieces he had. And he sees where we're at. I think we're still sitting fourth in the East. Fifth. Because Boston beat us. See, that's also crucial.
Yeah.
So we're fifth in the East right now. We're only two games back behind Indiana. So Indiana, I think, is going to start slipping. They can't hold the pace they're holding right now without Oladipo. So Indiana slips down. At best, if Boston takes a couple L's, at best I can see us in the third seed again. Which I'm okay with because that gives us home court the first round. But who will we play first round?
All right, y'all. I just want to let y'all say, I don't never say we. I'm not a Sixers fan. I cover the Sixers. My man is a Sixers fan. But he's a knowledgeable Sixers fan. So when he say we, that's him. I'm not a fan of any team. But this is what I want to say. I get what you're saying. Whoever said this Brett Brown is sandbagging is crazy. because the stuff that you pointed out. Now, first of all, everyone's saying that Indiana is going to fall. So Indiana won six straight, and then they lost one game right go ahead into the All-Star break. So Indiana, I expect them to fall. The Sixers, they know that they have to get, in order for them to be safe, they have to get this third seed.
They have to.
They have to. And even with the third seed, it's kind of like, you may mess around and play Brooklyn, and it's not a really good, that hasn't been a good matchup.
That hasn't been a good matchup with the other team that we
well,
had.
Though. Well, yeah, but I don't think, here's the problem with the Sixers. Has the starting lineup's defense gotten any better?
No, it hasn't.
The problem.
It has.
That's the problem against Brooklyn, because Brooklyn has the guards who are going to, they can create their own shots. That's the problem. Now, as far as the sandbagging going, so as far as the sandbagging that's going, people saying that, what Brett Brown is trying to do is he has three guys. We all know at the end of the day who he's going to play in the rotation. It's going to be, you know what, unless Furkan Korkmaz steps up, unless he steps up big time, he is not going to get any burn in
no,
the playoffs.
No.
Right? Now, you look at the games that Jonathan Simmons played. He's showing us that he deserves to be that perimeter defender. Now, James Ennis, it's his role to take, too. But the thing is, James Ennis has been a little bit inconsistent, right? So that's the reason why they're saying we're having a little competition. Now, what Brett Brown knows is that in the playoffs, it becomes more of a half-court game. Right now, you got the Bobby. You know, he can't run up and down the floor. Like, he's showing some, but he can't. But in the playoffs, when it becomes more of a half-court game, you could try to use him as a perimeter player. Now, Mike Scott, he's cool. He's cool. But what they have to do is, he is, and so I don't think he's sandbagging. I think what he is he's trying to find out what he has.
He's trying to play. He's playing chess right now, but he's playing chess against himself.
Yeah, well, he's trying. Yeah, you can say that, but I think it's more or less he doesn't know what he has. Like, we can all say, like, okay, we know what the Sixers have, but he's trying to see how they're going to fit in.
Right.
Like, for instance, you know, like this last game, you know, with the Boston, not the last one, but against the Knicks. No, excuse me, against Boston. What Boston did was they said, look, wherever TJ is, wherever JJ is, we're going to exploit that. We're going to exploit that. So what they're trying to do is, now the problem is, you know, TJ, he's playing hot offensively, right? The guys like playing with him because he gets them the ball in the right spot.
Big high energy guy.
Big high energy guy. But then, like, JJ, it's like, you know, JJ and Tobias, they open up things for everyone else. So what he's trying to do is, he's trying to say, okay, well, let me tinker with some lineups. I have TJ on the floor. Let's see who I could pair with him. Can it be Jonathan Simmons? Is it Ennis, James Ennis? You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. So I don't consider Tambaking. Now, they're trying to win, but he's also, he knows that last year against Boston, as good as Ersan and Marco were, right?
They were defensive liabilities.
Defensive liabilities.
They're defensive liabilities.
So he's trying to get that together. That's what he's trying to do. Now, I know some people saying sandbagging. Nah, dude.
Yeah, I disagree.
He can't say, nah, he's not going to sandbag. Because he knows, let's keep it real, if the Sixers with this talent, this team, all the hype that we talked about before that might be a little bit, I mean, they deserve hype, but the hype that they're getting is a little bit premature. And putting it, if Brett Brown finishes as the fifth seed and they lost to Boston in the first round, what people are going to say is, maybe they need a new coach. Because you got everything else in place, but the coach couldn't get us out the first round, and they lost to Boston again. And if they're the third seed and you can't make any stops against Brooklyn, if Brooklyn stays there and you lose that one, the coach has to go. So he ain't sandbagging. What he's trying to do is he's trying to find the
perfect matchup.
The perfect, yeah, exactly. The perfect pairing. For him to go to the make it to the second round.
I'm going to look at it like this. If the Sixers and Brett Brown can get the third seed and they play Brooklyn, I want to look as if the Sixers have a different team than what they played against Brooklyn the other three games. Okay? I think they played Brooklyn. No, the season series is done with Brooklyn. So the team they have now with Harris, Butler, Redick, Joel, and Ben going against Brooklyn, who has given us fits, I think it's a better outcome because by the time we play Brooklyn, and I say we because, like you said, I'm the fan, okay? But by the time the Sixers play Brooklyn, the Sixers, I think, will match up a lot better and the defense will be a lot stronger because you're going to have a guy like Jimmy Butler understand this is his shot. This is what he came to Philly for. This is what we brought you to Philly for. You know, Tobias Harris, this is your shot. This is why you always wanted to be on a team. You want to plant your roots. Ben and Joe already know what's at stake because they went through it last season. Now, granted, Joe had the broken nose, so he came on late. So now this will be Joe's first year going through the first round. Ben's already been through it. JJ's the consistent, constant professional. So the matchup against Brooklyn in the playoffs, I think, will be a lot better than the matchup it was throughout the season. Now, going forward, we get out of the first – Sixers get out of the first round. And the Sixers, let's say, they got to play Boston. It's hello, Brett. Now everyone's knocking on Brett because Brett has to adjust with the exploit of Brad Stevens pinning down JJ, pinning down TJ, pinning down Korkmaz. But he has pieces now. He's got Simmons. He's got Scott. He's got Ennis. They don't give you the offensive power that you had last season with Bellinelli and Ivysova, but they give you the length and the athletic ability to stay with these guys in Boston. So you got to create the matchup. If you don't create the matchup or adjust to what's being happened to you, then we'll keep coming out with the same outcome, Keith.
And you're right. And that's the reason why when people saying, he's saying, I'm trying it, I'm having a tryout or an audition, and some people saying sandbagging. No, it's not sandbagging. He's just trying to find things, what he has. That's all it is. But look, when we get right back, we're going to talk about, you know, should they bring them all back, and do they have a chance of bringing them all back? So listen, Jimmy Butler. Do you think Jimmy's coming back?
I'd like to see Jimmy Butler come back to the Sixers. I'd like to see it.
Do you think he's coming back, though? If you're Jimmy Butler, do you come back?
If I'm Jimmy Butler, I'm looking at the rest of the NBA. And I'm saying to myself, the team I have here now in Philadelphia with Ben and Joe, okay, all-stars for the next 10 seasons, a shooter in Tobias Harris, I don't have to play as hard. I don't have to play as hard as I've been doing in Minnesota and Chicago. I think Jimmy Butler, this is his best opportunity if he wants to compete for an NBA championship. This is his best opportunity is here in Philadelphia. Philadelphia wants him. The front office wants him. The fans want him. It's if Jimmy Butler wants to be here. And that's the question. That's what's been coming up. No one knows but Jimmy Butler. I'm not going to question Jimmy Butler. I love Jimmy Butler. I think he brings an attitude to this team that was missing. I think his defense has been better as he keeps playing with the Sixers. I think if they had a full season with the squad that is out there now for these next second half of the season, I think the Sixers will be a lot better. So Jimmy Butler needs to come back. Not should he come back. Or does he want to come back? Jimmy Butler needs to come back. And that's up to Elton Brand to make sure he stays because he's a big piece for this team.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with me, with Jimmy Butler is I think he holds the call, our cards. I think that, you know, if the Sixers are saying it is now, let's win now. I think that if they're saying that and they gave up the assets they had and the ownership group said that we're prepared to go into the luxury tax and pay that, then you have to bring everyone back, even J.J. Redick. Because the thing is, if you max one of them out or two and you try to max them out, you're going to have a hard time getting another pair, another person of that quality to come, because you won't have the money. because you're going to end up giving Ben an extension. I mean, you just don't have the money. Now, my thing is, though, with Jimmy, you know, Jimmy Butler was a four-time All-Star, four straight years before he came here, right? Right now, you look at Jimmy Butler, and some nights he's the fourth option. We all know he could play D, but some nights he's the fourth option. And then you go from that, you go there to, I mean, like, it was a little bit that way in Minneapolis where he was behind Carl and Wiggs, but he was better than both of them. They brought it. But, you know, we're talking about in Chicago where he went from being the last player drafted to being the guy who they were running plays for.
Right.
So you can say, I'm living in L.A. The weather is beautiful out there. I can play with LeBron, you know, get a championship, or I can go and play with Kawhi, assuming Kawhi goes to the Clippers. So to me, Jimmy Butler has to think, because not only that, it's like, let's face it, for a while, you know, the Sixers are going to have to put the ball in his hands, and they're going to have to get him more involved for him to feel. But and I get it. He says, hey, man, I just want to win. They all say that, bro. But at the end of the day, they all looking at stats, too. You know what I mean?
Jimmy Butler has to check his ego. And not just Jimmy Butler, the whole team.
Yeah.
You got to check your ego. Yeah. If you want to win, you can't be selfish. Look at Golden State. How do they make that happen continuously with the players they have? How?
Because you're right. They check
their egos. They check their egos.
They check their egos. They check their egos. And they all, but see, you know what? And they all of them, they check their egos and they all still became All-Stars. You know what I mean? Now, my thing is, so Jimmy has to check his ego. You know, he has to do this, he has to do that. But there are going to be people coming after him. I mean, we all know it. Like, people, what's going to happen now that since they have Tobias, since they have Jimmy, JJ, what's going to happen is that teams are going to offer. They're going to overpay for all of them, because if the Sixers don't offer that max, so to speak, they're going to overpay because people want to break this up. You know, they just want to break it up. Now, you know, they'll those draft picks that they'll have and whatever they get, those are going to be the rotation guys. Right. Like they can, you know, they can decide, like, hey, Johnson, we want you to be a rotation. Now, JJ, to me, with Tobias here now, it makes JJ more important to make sure you go. I know he's going to be 35. I get that. But you don't have to give him a five-year deal. But I think you got to give him a deal. You got to pay the man. You got to make sure he stays. Because right now, with all these other guys, the first two games, he was the one that was crushing. Because he benefited the most from the space. Now, to me, once if Tobias gets off early.
Yeah.
Right? That opens up everything for JJ.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that becomes a mismatch. And I think, I mean, I believe Tobias Harris is coming back. That's the one I'm least concerned about. I think he's coming back.
Absolutely.
But I think you have to keep JJ and Jimmy.
The thing with Tobias is the reason you have no concern is the same way I have no concern. He has a local tie somewhat. What's he from? Long Island.
Yeah.
So that's pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, he's close to home. And his whole career, he hasn't been anywhere where he can plant his roots.
Yeah.
You know, he's always been that piece being traded. You know, he can finally plant his roots here and be a viable piece to a team that really needs his athletic ability to create his own shot, to knock down the open J when he has it. So Tobias, is like you said, is the least of my concerns right now.
Yeah.
And it's Jimmy Butler. It's all Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
But let's take this a little bit deeper. Elton Brand did not handcuff himself with these deals. So if Jimmy Butler wants to go play with Kawhi, L.A., or LeBron, L.A., weather's nice, if he wants to go there, we're still freed up to still make a move to get somebody. We're not just handcuffed and sitting here waiting for another offseason or another trade deadline, because Elton Brand has still continued to set up the Sixers for success going forward. And that was really key with the moves he made. So Jimmy Butler, it's on Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, like I said, Jimmy Butler needs to check his ego. He needs to say, look, I want to win. He's saying, Jimmy Butler's saying the right things in the media. I mean, let's be fair. You know, he hasn't really said anything detrimental or something to raise your eyebrow in front of the cameras. Now, behind the cameras, I don't know. But he hasn't really done that. He's said all the right, he's been saying all the right things for face. So let's put that, let's take it for what it is. If he's saying all the right things, I can still get behind him. The fans can still get behind him. He hasn't caused the issues that everyone has been writing about to face. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So let's see, let's take Jimmy Butler for what he's given us and say Jimmy Butler wants to come back. Jimmy Butler comes back, Tobias resigns, JJ, keep him happy. You extend Ben and Joe. Well, Joe's already extended. You extend Ben. I'm telling you, man, this is something special. So, and this is where the hype, this is where that hype comes back. So, Jimmy Butler is the missing, as much as he is the missing piece, he's that piece. Because he has to make sure that he keeps himself checked at the door to give himself an opportunity to win an NBA championship.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he does. But AT, well, I want to thank you for joining me. And this is going to be the first of many times that my man's going to be on here. Like I said, he's a diehard Sixers fan, very knowledgeable. He goes on 97.5, and I'm happy to have him on here. Thanks, bro.
Keith, my pleasure, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, peace.